Well, amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 23 while you're standing. We're doing our series on the heart of the Psalms, and it really pained me to skip over Psalm 23 in that series, and so I'm going to preach from it tonight. Amen. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The 23rd Psalm is, of course, perhaps the most beloved passage in the Bible, one of the most well-known. I was thinking back to that. I think the first time I actually heard the 23rd Psalm quoted, you may find this funny, was by Paul Cartwright on Bonanza. And he quoted the 23rd Psalm in the King James to a dying man on the Bonanza TV show. And that was long before I got saved and knew really what it meant. The beauty of the 23rd Psalm is found in its pure simplicity. It paints a picture in six verses that speaks to our hearts. It speaks of a Creator God who is active and involved personally in our lives. He's the Lord, my shepherd. It has spoken of the hearts of countless millions since it was first written under Holy Spirit inspiration by David, probably as a young man, perhaps as a shepherd boy sitting on a hill in Bethlehem watching his own flock. There is a divine placement of this psalm that I've taught many times, but there is a trilogy of psalms here, Psalm 22, 23, and 24, where Psalm 22 speaks of Jesus with his cross. It speaks of his hands and feet being pierced, and is a messianic psalm concerning his crucifixion. Psalm 23 is the shepherd's crook, and Psalm 24 is the sovereign's crown. And so you have Psalm 22, Christ crucified. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 24, Jesus is coming again. Amen. And it's a beautiful trilogy. In Psalm 22, Jesus is the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, he's the Lord my shepherd. And in Psalm 24, he's the great shepherd. And these three psalms form a scene of two mountains with a valley between. Mount Calvary on one side, where Christ died for our sins. Mount Zion on the other side, when Christ comes again as the King of Kings and sets up his kingdom. And in between those is the long valley of the Christian life. I got saved back at Mount Calvary. One day I'm going to rule and reign with him on Mount Zion. But in the meantime, I've got to walk through the long valley of the Christian life. And I'm glad that the Lord is my shepherd as I go down these paths of righteousness. The only way into Psalm 23 is through the cross of Psalm 22. You have to be saved. You have to go by the way of the cross. The lost sheep has to be found and returned to the fold. But then once we are in the fold and we're under the shepherd's care, we find some precious promises in Psalm 23. "I shall not want." That's a blessing, isn't it? "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Sounds like a good place to be. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That's a picture of the Christian's quiet confidence in the Lord and our quiet communion with Him. "He restoreth my soul." And at the end of last year, I preached a sermon on that. How picturing a cast sheep, a downcast sheep that has fallen over on its side or on its back and has little legs in the air. And it sounds kind of funny until you realize the sheep could die in that condition. And because of its wool, it can't get back on its feet. And oftentimes, it's a pregnant sheep and it'll kill both the mother and the baby sheep. And so the shepherd has to watch for the sheep. And when he sees one that is cast down, he has to restore it to its feet. He's got to pick it back up, rub its muscles, and get the blood flowing again so that the sheep can survive. It's a very dangerous time when a Christian gets downcast. That's when we need the Lord to restore our souls, to pick us back up, get us back on our feet, get the blood pumping again, get the feeling back where it ought to be, and begin following the shepherd once more. Verse 2 gives us a beautiful picture of the rest and satisfaction available in the Christian life, lying down in green pastures, resting beside the still waters. But our text tonight is verse number 3. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness
for His name's sake. This reminds us that the Christian life isn't just eating, drinking, and laying around in a pastoral postcard with nice green pastures and little fluffy sheep, you know, just kind of settling in and chomping on grass, and there's the shepherd watching as the sun's shining and the birds are flying over. But rather, the life of a flock of sheep was an active life under the leadership of the shepherd. You know, there's some really good books out there like The Way of the Shepherd and others that have been written by actual shepherds as they look at Psalm 23. And it really gives some good insight into the true relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. It's not quite the postcard some of us think of it as. There's a lot of work involved on the shepherd's part and a lot of dangers involved on the sheep's part. We need the shepherd. No animal needs ownership and direction and guidance as much as a sheep needs a shepherd. You can't just turn sheep loose in the wilderness. They need a shepherd to survive. And so Psalm 23 is not a postcard, but real life. And all of us can put ourselves in this psalm and see our own relationship to Jesus as our shepherd. When we consider the valley of the Christian life, we need to see it realistically, because it's not heaven. Okay, this is not heaven. Aren't you glad? This is this world. And so while we're in this world, I mean, this valley of the Christian life, it's long, it's full of dangers, there are predators, there are thieves, there are traps, and our life will be crisscrossed by many different paths, and they're not all paths of righteousness. There are many paths that will lead us away from the will of God and the righteous life that God wants us to have. In this valley, storms will come, hard times will come, and difficulties will come. There will be times in which we traverse dark places and hard terrain. And sometimes the path is hard to follow. And sometimes it's even hard to see the shepherd. This valley of life is not heaven. It's the nitty-gritty of this old sin-cursed world that we live in. But I'm glad I have a shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. The only safe and happy place for the child of God is on the heels of the Lord our shepherd. That's where we are safe. That's where we are provided for. That is where we'll be happiest, in the footsteps of our shepherd and under His guidance and care. Tonight I want you to consider some thoughts on the statement that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I have three main thoughts. Three main thoughts. I hope that wasn't the best part of the sermon. Three main thoughts for us this evening. First, the Good Shepherd leads us forward. Forward. Now, why does it say paths of righteousness? Because He's leading us from one point to the other. That's the purpose of a path. Not to sit in one point, but to go to another point. And He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness. Sheep could not be kept year-round in one location for several reasons. First, they had to be moved seasonally. In the summertime, sheep might be taken up to the high meadows, and which would later be covered by snow, and they'd go ahead and eat that while it's still available. And then in the fall, they'd be brought back down into warmer climates, and they'd begin working their way closer and closer to the sheepfold, and they would graze as they got closer and closer back. And then in the hardest part of winter, the shepherd might put them in the fold and feed them there. So they'd start out far out on the mountains and then go lower and lower back toward the sheepfold in the wintertime. And as we consider our lives, the seasons change for the child of God too. The springtime of youth gives way to the summer of adulthood and the fall of later years and the winter of old age. Yet the Good Shepherd will faithfully lead us forward and care for us through all the seasons of life. You know, as the seasons of life changes, you know, we just need to follow Him. He leads us forward. As you go from childhood into the teenage years, draw nigh to God. As you go from the teen years into young adulthood, stay close to God. As you go into family life and children, and you have little lambs under your care, make sure that you keep them close to the shepherd. As you get established in your career and get your house and raise kids, you need to make sure that you're raising your family under the care and guidance of the shepherd. That's no time to backslide and drop out on God. When you're a young adult, when you're college and career age, when you're making decisions on marriage and having children, that's no time to be out there in the paths of unrighteousness. We need to make sure that we're under the care of our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He leads us forward through the various seasons of life. As our kids begin to leave home, as we are in midlife, and having one gone and one that we wish would leave. I'm just kidding, Becky. Thought we could get rid of her till at least the end of the semester, and here she is. She knows I'm kidding. Don't get all offended on her behalf. But as our kids begin to leave home and we start to face that empty nest, that's no time to drop out on God either. We need God in every season of life. And as we go into what may be for some the hard years of old age, and it is hard for many, then we need to be under the tender care of our shepherd at that time. I'm just glad that in all the seasons of life, I have the Lord my shepherd to lead me forward, leading me forward through all of these stages and all of these sections of life. Because I got news for you. I can't say that because so many of you are older than I am. But I tell you, I told someone recently that's a lot younger than I am, that going into the 40s was a little bit of uncharted. Some things caught me by surprise. I'll just say that, and I'm not going to go anymore. But I had in my 20s, I could see, you know, what I wanted to do in my 30s and the goals that I had. When I got in my 40s, it was like kind of like uncharted territory for me. But you know what I decided to do? Stick close to Jesus. Stick close to Jesus. He leads us forward. And sometimes He moves us with the seasons. I'll move on now. Then sometimes they have to be moved during times of stormy weather. Stormy weather. And storms and harsh weather can come into the valleys of a saved person's life just like they come into the valleys of an unsaved person's life. But at least when the storm comes, I have a shepherd that is leading me forward. To leave Him during the storm would be suicide. I need to follow Him forward through the storm and stay in the paths of righteousness. Keep doing the right things. Primarily, sheep had to move from pasture to pasture to grow and stay healthy. Now, from what I've read, it doesn't take long for a good-sized flock to mow down a pasture. And they will not only, they don't just, like a cow will eat the tops of the grass and it grows back, but a sheep will eat it all the way down to the ground, and that's pretty much it for the season. They'll just mow it right down to the ground, and from what I've read and what I understand, having never owned sheep, but that's what I understand. And so the shepherds, they'd move their flocks through various pastures. And they would mow down one section and at least eat a lot of it. And then they move them to another section. And so the health of the sheep depended on the shepherd moving them from place to place so they could continue to grow and stay healthy. And, so the path of the Christian's growth is forward. It's forward. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We need to grow forward in our knowledge and forward in our Christian life. And we have to resist the easy life of complacency and false contentment. Well, I like where I am. I like this pasture. I don't want to go to another pasture. I'm content here. I like this grass. We're going to run out of it pretty soon. And many folks, you know, they like a life. They like their Christian life and their church life to have very few expectations, few demands. They've learned their ABCs of Christian growth, and that's as far as they want to go. And they're going to spend the rest of their Christian life just kind of camped out in that one spot. But folks, we need to grow forward, and that means taking responsibility. That means learn. Folks, you haven't learned all this book, neither have I. Keep learning it. Have a humble heart towards it. Be willing to take risks. Be willing to step out and get out of our comfort zone sometimes. The shepherd leads us forward. And he wants to do so that we can grow and we can be healthy. And if we don't, we'll just sit here in our little zone of complacency and never grow and never develop. And our faith stays stagnant. Our spiritual life becomes stagnant. We don't take challenges. We don't set goals. We don't rise to any opportunities. This coming fall, I have an opportunity. I've agreed to teach for 1 year at Heartland Baptist Bible College. What a great opportunity. And is it going to be easy to go to Oklahoma City once a week? No. Had to count the cost. But really, in the long run, I won't be driving any longer than I was driving to Arlington 2 days a week back when I used to do that. 7 hours versus 7 hours. Is that going to be hard on a car? Of course. But do I believe it's God's will? Yes. So when I believe it's God's will, I believe God will provide. And you can watch and see if He does. But I can sit in my zone of complacency. Well, I just got to prepare for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday school and just go through my little routine. Why should I extend myself? Why should I take any challenge? Why should I try? Because I want to grow forward in my life, to take an opportunity to do so, to teach a class of 150 young people, including three of ours. And no, you're not getting any special treatment. You've got to earn special treatment like everybody else with Coke Zeros and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. So I'm excited about it. I want to grow forward. I want to expand. I want to learn and have these experiences in my life. I don't want to settle down and be sedentary and to be stagnant. I want, if God opens an opportunity for me to do something and it's His will, I want to do that. But a lot of folks don't have that attitude. They just want to sit and stagnate and never be asked to do anything and never grow forward and never challenge themselves with some new area of learning or growth or experience. But folks, I just believe the Lord our shepherd is going to lead us forward. He leads us forward. But no, I'm not moving to Oklahoma City. Why in the world would I want to live in Oklahoma? I'm going to go up there and enlighten those poor people. I'm coming back to Texas. The good shepherd leads us forward. I'm not afraid to follow the shepherd forward. I'm afraid to be left behind. I'll move on. Number two, the good shepherd leads us faithfully. He leads us forward. He leads us faithfully. The valley of the Christian life is crisscrossed with many paths. Not all are righteous. But the paths that the shepherd will lead us down that lead to safety are paths that lead us to safety, sustenance, and security, while others will lead us to harm, heartache, and hardship. What are these paths of righteousness? Well, it's being right and doing right. That's it. Being right and doing right. Not just putting on the facade at church, but just being a right person, being right in your life. Doing the right things. If it's right to do, it's right to do. It's right for me to preach here tonight, so here I am preaching. It's right for you to be here tonight, so here you are listening. And I make no apology for it. And I'm just going to try to do the right things. I want to be right. I want to do right. I want to fulfill my responsibilities towards God, my family, my church, my neighbor. And we have a responsibility to do those things and to follow Him in the paths of righteousness. Now, there are some dangers in the Christian life. For one thing, some sheep don't want to move. And we've already mentioned that. Secondly, some sheep tend to wander away down the wrong paths. Very easy for sheep to do that. Sheep are very interesting. They're a lot like people. I think the Lord knows what He's talking about, comparing us to sheep. Sheep are like us. For one thing, sheep can be stubborn. And so can we. And sheep can be self-willed. And so can we. In fact, dogs can be self-willed. It's amazing, my dogs, how they can develop selective hearing. You know, they're outside. Gizmo, come back here. And he didn't hear me. Well, sheep can be that way too. Sheep are a lot like dogs. And the shepherd's leading forward, but the sheep is stubborn. He wants to do his own thing. He doesn't want to follow the shepherd. He wants to go over here or stay there. And sometimes the shepherd has to use his rod of correction and get that sheep to going, and or maybe sick the sheepdog on him to get the sheep going where he ought to go. But sheep can be stubborn, and so can we. Sometimes you have a rogue sheep that often misleads others. It's not just one sheep that's gone off, but he or she has gone off, and then a couple more have gone off with him. That happens all the time in churches. If one person drops out of church, you can just wait a week or two, and two or three more people will drop out too. It's just the thing to do. And sometimes that's how it works. And sometimes people, when they're going a little bit rogue or a little bit wayward, they want to get as many people on their side as possible. And you can't. Now, if you want them to witness, they'll never say a word. But if you want to get them on their side, they just won't shut up. And so they want to get everyone on their side if they can. And man, blogs used to be the problem. Now Facebook's the problem. Got to get everyone on our side. And misleading others sometimes. Sheep can also be careless or preoccupied, not pay attention to what is going on. I've read the shepherd say that a sheep will eat with his nose to the ground and just be walking around, looking at the ground and look up, and all of a sudden he realizes he's all alone. He has, without thinking about it, carelessly wandered away from the flock and the shepherd. And sometimes we just get busy in life, things happen. Before you know it, we look up and we're halfway out of church, halfway out of our Bible reading, halfway out of prayer, halfway out of a lot of things. And so we have to be careful. The shepherd will lead us faithfully, but we also must keep our eye on the shepherd and follow Him faithfully. Now, I do believe the greatest dangers come in times of difficulty or transition. Unstable times. Times of difficulty. Changes in life. And that's when we need to have our eye on Christ even more. We have all these paths crossing. We've got to make sure that we follow the right path. But thank God our shepherd leads us faithfully. Move on thirdly now. And the good shepherd leads us favorably. He leads us favorably. Now, I should point out that we will not always enjoy the paths that the shepherd chooses for us. They're called the paths of righteousness, not the paths of convenience. They're not called the paths of luxury, fun, you know, good times. They're called the paths of righteousness, and those are not always easy paths to follow. All right, Joseph knew that. The three Hebrew children knew that. Daniel knew that. I mean, everyone in the Bible illustrates that, and yet we still kind of think, well, it ought to be easy. The paths of righteousness are not always easy, but the good shepherd will lead us favorably. When I go through dark valleys and over rough ground and through the wilderness and dry and arid regions, I'm glad that He is with me and leading me favorably. Now, notice verse 3 again. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His own name's sake. And that expression occurs many times in the Bible. He doesn't do it for my sake always, but He will do it for His sake. That's an interesting thought. Sometimes I don't deserve it, but for His name's sake, He leads me forward. You think about Israel, how often God was ready to destroy him, and Moses said, but for Your name's sake, and He spared them. I think if God only did things based on what we deserve, we'd miss out on a lot of blessings. Aren't you glad He's gracious and merciful and favorable towards us? And for His name's sake, He leads us forward, He leads us faithfully, He leads us favorably. So the problem with us, folks, the problem is never the shepherd. Capital S shepherd. There's nothing wrong with the Lord our shepherd. The problem is often with us as the sheep. And even when we're well-meaning, sometimes it's easy to get a little sidetracked on the wrong path. He leads us forward. We must be willing to follow. He will favor us. He will be faithful with us. And the best place for any of us is on the heels of the Lord our shepherd.